The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked. True love endures. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, including the tragic death of her husband Jim at the hands of a fierce Indian tribe decades ago. But her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today about a trip to Ecuador that my husband and I took in January of 1996. We had been there in 1994 and had been very disappointed in not getting to see some of the Indians that I had hoped to see. As some of our listeners know, I was a missionary in Ecuador between 1952 and 1963. And so I had many friends in three different tribes of Indians, three different tribes that I worked with doing linguistic work, reducing their languages to writing, etc. Well, we decided that since we hadn't seen all the people we wanted to see, we would try it again. And so we went in January of 1996, and we took along my daughter Valerie and her husband Walt. Walt, incidentally, grew up in Africa. His parents were missionaries over there. So Valerie and Walter have quite a bit in common, having lived in the jungle, having spoken those very strange-sounding languages, and they both loved that life. So we also took their oldest son, who was 18 years old. He had been visiting his great-uncle, Bert Elliot, Jim Elliot's older brother, who has been a missionary in Peru for more than 45 years. And Walter decided to go down there. This is Walter III now, my oldest grandson, who decided to go down and spend some time with his Uncle Bert, learning Spanish, teaching English as a second language, and doing whatever help he could give, helping in different ways, such as construction of a school building, and anything that his uncle might want to tell him. But the main purpose of his going there was to just be under the tutelage of a very godly man. Lots of people have heard of Jim Elliot. Very few people know about Bert Elliot. But he is one of those hidden ones, a godly man with a very godly wife who has been unsung. I think of him as a hero. And a fellow missionary told me years ago, "I'm going to tell you something, Elizabeth, that you're never going to learn from your brother-in-law." But he said, "It's the truth. Your brother-in-law has founded about 45 churches in Peru, small churches in remote areas of the jungle and in very remote areas of the high Andes. So 6 months out of the year, he used to travel by launch and reach the jungle people. And 6 months out of the year, he traveled by camper up in the high Andes. So it was a sacrificial life. And we were very thankful that Walter was willing and eager to go down there and spend time with him in order also to seek God's direction for his life. So Walter took a bus up to Quito and met us there. But before I get you to Quito, I do want to tell you of the wonderful way in which the Lord opened door after door after door. This was a trip that was not easy to plan. It was quite impossible to work out a firm itinerary because one never knows whether it's going to be possible to get to the jungle because of weather and because of roads that often have landslides and because of various methods of transportation, not all of which work all the time. And another thing was corresponding with my Indian friends to let them know that we would be coming down and hoping that they would be able to sort of collect from different areas of the jungle the people that we were wanting to see. But the first area in which we really had to trust God was getting just from our home in Magnolia, Massachusetts, to Logan Airport, the Boston airport. The day before, we had heard the predictions of a huge snowstorm that was coming in. And so Lars had tried to get us an earlier flight knowing that as the day wore on, that it would be more and more likely that the airport would be closed. Well, the earlier flight was booked. But we had a friend coming to take us to the airport, and she had a very, very difficult time getting to our house. It was, in fact, a whiteout, and she had her 10-year-old son with her in the car, and he was watching the breakdown lane of the highway, and she was watching the guardrail in the center. And she said she could see virtually nothing in front of her. Well, the Lord guided them, protected them. They got to our house. We got into the car. And all the time I was thinking, this is an exercise in futility. We're never going to get to the airport. Or if we get to the airport, it's going to be closed. Or at least our flight will be canceled. We got to the airport. Almost every other flight was canceled. Ours was not. We were to fly to Miami. Then we discovered that we were on standby for the next flight, which was supposed to leave at something like 8:30. And I thought, well, Lord, undoubtedly it's full, being as pessimistic as I am by nature. But I said, Lord, it's all in your hands. And I had been saying this for months. Every time I thought of the trip to Ecuador, I just said, Lord, I'm trusting you. I am going to trust you. I am not going to worry about this. You know how to engineer everything according to your will. Well, although we were on standby, we got a seat on the plane. We met Valerie and Walter in Miami. We flew to Quito, and their son, Walter, who had come up from Peru in a bus, was waiting for us at the airport. And that was a thrill. The next question was, how were we going to get to the jungle? We found out that the one road that I knew about that goes from Quito down into the eastern jungle, a road built by the Shell Oil Company back in the late 30s, was closed because of landslides. I didn't think there was any other road, but then I found out that since my day, way back in 1963, what used to be a mule trail has now been made into a road. Many oil companies are now drilling in Ecuador, and they've made some very tremendous, dramatic changes. But what kind of transportation would we find? Were there buses? Were there taxis? Were there... We didn't know what there were. And the very next day, who should appear in front of the guest house where we were staying in Quito but Steve Saint, son of missionary pilot Nate Saint of Operation Auca. Many of you know the story of five missionaries who were killed in 1956 in Ecuador. One of them was my husband, Jim Elliott. Another one, the one who had really had the vision for reaching the Auca Indians, was Nate Saint, missionary aviation pilot. And his son, Steve, is now also a missionary and a pilot. And there was Steve with his wife and his teenage son and daughter standing there in front of the guest house as we came across the street. We greeted each other. We hugged each other. He calls me Aunt Betty. And he said, well, what are you all going to do? Well, we said, we're hoping to get down to Shelmeta, to the jungle, tomorrow. And he said, how are you going to get there? Well, we don't know, we said. And he said, well, we're going tomorrow. Why don't we go together? And so that's what happened. He borrowed a van. He drove all five of us, plus his family. And we got to a little town called Tena, which is not very far from the station called Shandia, in which my husband Jim and I had worked. Well, Tena was nothing but a crossroads when I lived there in that area, and so I expected that when we got to Tena, because it's such a small town, we would be able to find Venancio, a Quechua Indian, a very godly man, the man who took over the pastoring of the church when Jim was killed, and he was also the teacher in our little school, sixth grade school. And Venancio is a very dear friend and a very faithful, godly man. So I'd been corresponding with him for 6 months, hoping that he would be able to help us arrange our trip to the jungle and meet the people that we wanted to see. Well, I was amazed when we got to Tena to find out that it was no longer just a crossroads. It was a metropolis. So the great question was, how are we going to find Venancio? I didn't know where Pauxi-Yaku was. That's the address he gave me. I found out that Pauxi-Yaku was sort of a part of Tena, but it was a very big place. What could we do? Well, we stopped at the first little restaurant that looked as though it might be a promising place to find somebody. And we hadn't even gone into the restaurant when a young Quechua man, I would guess to be maybe 20, 22, came up and said, "Buenos dias." Well, I said to him, "Arunashimera rimakchangi," which is not Spanish, that's Quechua. And he almost had a heart attack right there on the sidewalk. Here's this tall, old, gray-haired foreigner speaking Quechua to him. He broke into a big smile. Yes, indeed, he did speak Quechua, and we carried on a conversation. I found out that he was the son of a Christian man whom I had known years before, and he also knew Venancio. "You know where Venancio lives?" I said. "Venancio wasira diksingichu?" "Adi," he said, "yes. Shinakpi pushapangi." And he said, "Adi." I said, "Please take us there." And so he got into the van with us and told us where to go. It wasn't more than about a quarter of a mile. My heart was just pounding, thinking, imagine how faithfully our loving shepherd has guided us point after point, from point to point, and in all sorts of uncertainties and vicissitudes. Do you know the hymn, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us? Much we need thy tender care." Well, he is a faithful shepherd. He leads us, the Bible tells us, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And when he leads us in a path that we didn't expect, let's remember it's for his name's sake. I'm going to continue with my story tomorrow.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.